global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The Bloomberg Futures Report brought to you by Interactive Brokers and CME Group. If you're looking for global futures contracts with low trading costs, look no further. Interactive Brokers is the industry leader. Learn more at interactivebrokers.com/CME Group. U.S. stock index futures, they are higher, with S&P E-mini futures up 3 points, Dow E-mini futures up 38, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 9, the DAX in Germany's down 0.2%, 10-year Treasury down 10/32, the yield 1.88%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents to $49.54 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $1.70 to $12.1490 an ounce. The euro, $1.1158. The yen, 111.15. Marketo in a definitive agreement to be acquired by Vista Equity Partners for $35.25 a share in cash, or a total value of about $1.79 billion. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen Moscow, thank you very much. Dana Marshall was a career Foreign Service officer loaned to the White House, worked on international economic issues in the George H.W. Bush and Clinton White Houses, truly a bipartisan look at what was going on in the world those days. He's now the head of the Transnational Strategy Group, and he's talking about this campaign for president.
And Mike, he's qualified to talk about trade because he's got a degree in physics from Case Western Reserve.
Which is
that's a very,
very
cool degree.
You've got to be from Ohio to understand this campaign. There's no question about that. But Dana, I found it very interesting. You're writing that as the candidates try to figure out the U.S. economic place in the world in these globalized days, that what we're getting is a sort of an effort to repair the airplane while in flight. Nobody has spent a lot of time thinking through exactly what should be done. They're responding more to public pressure than to a clear strategy for how you run a globalized economy.
Well, that's right, and good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for putting me on this show. Globalization has been around for a very long time. The effects, both positive and negative, have been pretty manifest in the United States and around the world. But I think it's fair to say that in this particular election, for a number of reasons, these issues have become front and center. The concerns regarding wage growth, inequality, jobs growth, manufacturing, of course, China, both as an economic competitor and market, and also, of course, political and military challenges regarding China, issues involving high-tech industry of the United States. Many, many of these kinds of issues are swirling around right now. And there are some common sort of axes that one should think about in trying to understand what is going on. But for better or for worse, through to November 8, these issues are going to be white hot. You mentioned repairing the airplane while in flight. You know, there has been a tremendous amount of discussion in sort of academic, business, political circles, foreign policy circles in Washington, New York, and elsewhere over many years about these trends. But they really have not been focused on very much in prior elections, or only really at the margins. This time, for better or for worse, the issues are out there. The question, of course, is how will they be analyzed, who the voters will elect, and, of course, what that president is going to end up doing about this, because certainly some changes need to be made, in my view.
When I look at TPP, there has to be an international response to our presidential election and, frankly, to what the two candidates are hearing from their supporters. I believe both of them are hearing that they're not thrilled about TPP from the American prism. What's the foreign response to that observation?
Well, the 11 TPP partners with the United States, of course, are very positive on it. They very much want to see it pass. Of course, as we recall, the agreement has been negotiated, but it needs to the legislation that's required to put into effect is still pending in Congress, and there's a lot of question about whether that will be passed anytime soon, including in the lame duck period. But as we can see from the president's recent trip to Asia, where he, of course, visited a number of countries that are partners for the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation, there is a strong degree of support. I'm sure the president, who took along his U.S. trade representative as well, was trying to be as optimistic and as positive, and certainly the president sees this negotiation and one that is still underway across the Atlantic as key elements of his legacy, perhaps some of the top elements of his economic part of his legacy. So he's going to push it, but it has received and I believe will continue to receive significant resistance politically and by both parties, which is another interesting realignment that we're seeing, certainly by all three candidates that are presently running.
Well, go ahead, Mike, please.
Well, I was going to ask, the issue seems to be you can make an economic case for the macroeconomy for TPP, but it's very hard to make a case to the working man who feels his job is in danger because of trade. How would you adjust trade deals to account for that, to put a floor under the problems for the worker?
Well, that's a very good question. And, in fact, that really is the question, is how do we move forward with trade deals in the future? Because certainly, I mean, everyone makes the point that 95% of humanity lives outside of the borders of this country. About 75% of the world's economy is outside. So clearly, trade needs to continue, even without any additional trade agreements. Obviously, it would. There's a tremendous amount of international trade. But the way it has worked out is that it has, in my view, created some real tensions and inequalities. And as you point out, the issue, I think, is what do you do about those who have not been benefited by globalization thus far? That is really the question. And here, I think that the data is pretty clear on it, both academic data. There's a very widely reported and cited source. And politically. So certainly there needs to be a lot more attention paid to manufacturing.
Dana, let's come back and continue this discussion. Dana Marshall with us. He worked with Bush Sr. and Clinton on trade dynamics and as an important voice to consider on America and trade, Bloomberg Surveillance.
We are counting down to the opening bell, brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Michael McKee. And the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine assets servicing unconstrained by infrastructure or investment operations that predictively respond to change. SEI is creating the future state. Go to SEIC.com/imagine. Stocks are a little change to higher at the open. S&P 500 up about 0.1% or 1 point to 2,100. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.1% or 18 points to 17,892. And the Nasdaq's up 0.1% or 6 points to 4,939. 10-year Treasury down 0.3, the yield 1.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.93%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 24 cents to $49.57 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.50 to $12.1430 an ounce. The euro, $1.1161. The yen, 111.20. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Dana Marshall with us, working with George H.W. Bush and President Clinton. As well, Mike, why don't you pick it up on TPP and on what we were talking about earlier?
We were talking about, you can't, under the rules, Congress can't amend the bill. So it will stand or fall on its own, this trade deal. But you were telling us before we had to go to break, how you would fix future trade deals.
Right. Well, I think that if you look at why it is that these trade deals have elicited the kind of resistance that we've seen, even in very sort of, frankly, inconsequential deals, like very small ones that were negotiated a few decades ago with small countries in the Persian Gulf, mainly for political reasons. A lot of it has to do with the effect on workers in the manufacturing sector. And let's face it, if you look at the manufacturing numbers right now, either output or employment, it's flat. In fact, it looks like even trending down a bit in with some charts that I've seen. So that has to be the big focus. So what do you do about either perhaps trying to amend TPP to try to make it something that either candidate would accept, or for a future deal? I think you need to look at the impacts on manufacturing. And there are a number of areas, I think, maybe two or three baskets that I would highlight. Certainly one of them is in terms of currency misalignment or manipulation. This is something that there's been a lot of discussion about, a lot of analysis, and it's a very, very big factor. That needs to be looked at. There is a school of thought, and I think I would subscribe to it, that the currency manipulation issue was not sufficiently dealt with in the TPP negotiations. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can get into it. Rules of origin, which is a kind of a very esoteric sounding thing, but it's very important in a trade agreement. It basically means what amount of components of a trading partner is the minimum that you need in a product in order for it to benefit from a trade agreement. There was a lot of controversy about rules of origin, which were seen as potentially threatening U.S. manufacturing by being too low, that would permit effectively, let's say, Chinese products, China, of course, not being a TPP member, a country, to flow, say, into Japan, and then being incorporated into a Japanese car that is sent with a gradually declining duty into the United States. That was a problem. The treatment of state enterprises, which are important in a number of the TPP member countries,
right,
are also an area that needs to be looked at more.
Dana, the minutia of this is important. With your experience with President Bush Sr. and with President Clinton, what's different about our caution and how suspect we are about this agreement versus the previous eight agreements you were directly involved with?
Well, again, an interesting question. If you look back, for example, at when NAFTA was being negotiated and when it finally passed in the mid-90s, at that time, the United States actually had a small trade surplus with Mexico. That surplus has now exploded into a huge, something like $90, $100 billion deficit. I think that that is an important factor. And I think also history has shown where we've seen mounting trade deficits, which are serious, need to be looked at, which do impact U.S. economy. I think that these are, it's the history that we've seen with these negotiations that has, I think, changed. You know, I'm, as you mentioned, a former State Department person, so I'm very used to trying to use economic tools to achieve U.S. foreign policy ends. That's very legitimate. It needs to continue. I think the challenge for the next administration will be which of those economic tools can be used, and which that would be effective and advance foreign policy interests.
Just one example, on copyright, will the value of our creative content be improved with TPP?
Well, that is what that is one of the main reasons for the administration pursuing it. If you look at the other side of the ledger, on the intellectual property rights side, copyright protection, digital trade, avoiding localization, these are seen as breakthrough areas for the TPP document. But it's very difficult to quantify. Just a week or two ago, the International Trade Commission is required by law to do an economic evaluation of trade agreements. The ITC put out its analysis of TPP, and it showed, frankly, a very poor performance in manufacturing. You know, why would you want to negotiate pass an agreement that was not going to be positive on manufacturing? On the other side of the ledger, though, it did say that many of the individuals and companies it talked to extolled virtues of this on the IP side, but without quantification.
Well, then, let's ask this. When you look at, you talked about the trade deficit with Mexico, what should be our foreign policy, foreign economic policy? What should we want from other countries?
Well, that's also a very complicated question. I mean, if you look at the subject as from a business perspective, let's say you're running a transnational business, what you're trying to do, of course, is to put production and trade and consumption into the places in the world which is going to maximize your return on investment and shareholder value. But that is not necessarily the same goal as a government has. National economic goals mm-hmm. are not necessarily the same as the goals of transnational enterprises. It seems to me that that the next president, whoever he or she might be, is going to be elected by an electorate that's very concerned about these things and is looking for change. Of course, like any election, the electorate's not expert. They're looking for the experts in the administration to change it. I think certainly there needs to be some changes in manufacturing policy and on trade. And I would also say, just the last point, that it's not only the international side. There's also domestic steps that can be taken, for example, an infrastructure bank.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Dana Marshall, thank you so much. Transnational Strategy Group, that was a joy to get a sane discussion on TPP, where, Mike, I find there's oftentimes a lot of heat and certitude and less analysis. Mike, look at that headline.
Yeah.
That's Saudi a big Arabia, number.
$15 billion.
Saudi Arabia said to waive bond sale. This is, of course, off Qatar. I believe was $9 billion off the top of my head. Don't have it in front of me. $15 billion dollars as $50 oil in the chronic nature of oil here. Brent crude $49.62 down 14 cents. I note gold down $4 as well, $12.13 the ounce. Saudi Arabia to weigh bond sale of $15 billion.
Time now to check in with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Just 2 years ago, the Brazos River in southeast Texas had run dry in places because of drought. Today, communities along the Brazos are dealing with flooding that has killed at least 6 people. The National Weather Service says the river will likely crest at record levels by midday today in Fort Bend County. A suspected Taliban gunman shot and killed at least 16 people today in Afghanistan. It is the deadliest single attack the group has made since naming a new leader last week. A spokesman for the northern province of Kunduz says insurgents dressed in military uniforms stopped a convoy of buses. Initially, about 200 hostages were taken. More than 150 have been freed, and more than 30 are still being held by the Taliban. About 40,000 striking Verizon employees say they are returning to work tomorrow after reaching a tentative contract agreement. The company and unions say the deal reached Friday includes about 1,300 new call center jobs and nearly 11% in raises over 4 years. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. Now, Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
Michael Barr, thanks so much. We look at equities, bonds, currencies, commodities, the yen weaker, 111.23, some persistent weakness in the yen. We see the same thing with renminbi, 6.58 yuan per dollar. I'd also note Brazilian real, 3.59 weaker over the last few days. Michael McKee and Tom Keene, Bloomberg Surveillance.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by Land Rover. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverTriState.com or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for details. Land Rover, above and beyond.